Hare Krishna. So, welcome to session 3 of the Bhakti Shastri course. Who has dropped out? Anyone who has dropped out? Today is the last chance to drop out. If anyone wants to. Which we agreed, no, in the first class. So whoever continues from today, it is expected that that person will stay with us for 2 years.
More people join.
Huh?
More people join.
Who is someone is joining today? I can't see any new faces. Okay. All right. So we can still accept someone if they want to come, provided they will stay with us for 2 years. What are the 9 signs of victory? Okay, so the influence of the Holy Dham, that's one. What else?
Bhishma did not respond to Duryodhana's through words.
Bhishma
blows the conch shell just to pacify Duryodhana.
Okay, so Bhishma's conch shell is foreboding. It's foreboding, diffidence, not confidence. It's foreboding vinash for Duryodhana, not auspiciousness. Okay. So that is another indication. Yes, what else? Shankh blown by God, Lord himself, which will bring auspiciousness on the side where Lord is.
And his personal presence also.
His personal presence, yes.
Goddess of fortune.
Goddess of fortune is present wherever Narayana is there, Lakshmi is there, yes. The chariot given by Agni. Is there any other dimension that we talked about? Specifically on chariot by Agni.
So Krishna was
the story of Narayana.
Correct.
The presence of Krishna was preventing the chariot to...
Correct. So despite any boon and benediction that are given by the demigods, what? Yeah, it is Krishna who was actually controlling from the background. So Krishna is the supreme controller, not the demigods. So Agni's chariot was also vulnerable at the end of the day. When Krishna got off, then the chariot exploded and burst into flames like that. So yeah, what else?
Hanuman
was on the flag of Bhima. So what did we learn from the pastime of Bhima and Hanuman? What did we learn from that pastime?
He subdued basically Bhima.
He subdued Bhima. So what did we learn from that pastime?
Bhima was under the impression that he was the strongest in the whole world. So he
Hanuman gave a lesson in false pride to Bhima, but at the end of the day, immediately after defeating or after bringing Bhima down to earth, immediately what did Hanuman do?
He gave a boon that wherever.
First, he hugged him. He hugged him, and then he showed his Virat Roop form, and then he gave him a boon. So this, from here, what do we learn?
That the ultimate thing in the whole teaching was the love.
Yeah. Okay.
Teaching or bringing the pride down was just one part of it.
Okay. Yes.
Bringing the pride was only the whole idea, but not to bring the person's
confidence,
person's level down.
Correct.
The aim was just to bring the pride and.
Correct. So. So Hanuman taught us the art of counseling. The art of counseling is what? That if we are taking responsibility or if we are in a position of authority to correct someone, we correct them, but we also back it up with love. Not that we harbor something against them or we go and tell others about how this person is. Not like that. So Hanuman taught us like that. He chastised him, but immediately followed it up with a reciprocation of love. So he is teaching us how to be good counselors. Hmm? Okay. Yeah. What else? Transcendental conchal. Yes, the conchal was called as Divyam.
It's also different types of Krishna's modes.
Different types of?
Krishna's modes like.
Yeah, we'll come to that. Science of victory. We are still in science of victory. One more was the shattering of the. Yeah. Shattering of Kaurava's hearts. Okay. So there are 9 senses of victory. So I'll just list for those of you who may not have it in a collated form. The first one was Krishna's personal presence confirms victory. Krishna was present as in two forms. What were the two forms that Krishna was present as? One as Partha Sarathi, charioteer, and the other as Rishikesha, controller of the senses. Number two, goddess of fortune was present. Number 3 was the venue itself, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. Number 4, Hanuman was on Arjuna's flag and Bhima was humbled as well as corrected. Next was the conch shell, which is a symbol of Vishnu, indicating that the result of the battle will be all auspicious and also indicates that Krishna's will finally prevail at the end of the battle. Then the conch shells were transcendental, not of this material world. 7th was Bhishma's conch shell to pacify Duryodhana. The mood of Bhishma and the fact that the conch shell was not actually giving, it was more of giving, pacifying Duryodhana rather than giving him any confidence per se. And then Agnidev's chariot given to Arjuna, and also Arjuna had a quiver which had infinite arrows. And then finally the shattering of the hearts. So these were the 9 signs of victory for the Pandavas. What else did we discuss? Yes, somebody was, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you had a point? Yeah. We discussed Krishna's different moods. So the Krishna who was present in Kurukshetra is not the Krishna who is in Vrindavan. So Shyam Sundar Krishna was not the person who was present in Kurukshetra. This is a different Krishna. We saw that last time. What are the four different manifestations of Krishna's moods? So who was present in Kurukshetra? Dhira Prashanta Krishna was the Krishna present in Kurukshetra. And Shyam Sundar Krishna is Dhir Lalit, who doesn't step out of Vrindavan. So that was Krishna's mood in the battle. And what are the qualities of Dhir Prashanta Krishna? Okay, what else did we discuss?
We discussed Bhima as Mahajan and the reason why he has come to
Okay, yeah. So we discussed the why Bhima was fighting this whole battle and what was his mood. Oh, sorry, how Bhishma was fighting this battle and what was his whole mood in the battle. So Bhishma was, this whole battle for Bhishma was like a karma yoga for him. No? Just for the pleasure of Krishna. He wanted, actually you can say Bhakti Yoga in one sense. So Bhishma's whole purpose, intent of fighting in the battle was for the pleasure of Krishna. He didn't have anything to do with the fortunes of Duryodhana. Neither did he have any material attachement. So we saw that. And then there's one more important point we saw. Okay, Mataji. Two types of names. What are the two types of names we saw? And Gauna Naam. So we saw that the Lord's names can be categorized as Mukhya Naam and Gauna Naam. Mukhya Naam is the primary characteristics and the Gauna Naam is the secondary characteristics, secondary names of the Lord. So what is, which is the one which devotees are encouraged to chant? Mukhya Naam. So we don't sit in the morning and say Paramatma, 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 Paramatma. We don't chant like that. We say Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Right? So we directly address Krishna. Abhinnatvam Nama Namino. The holy name is non-different from the Lord. So directly we address his names. So we also discussed that Mukhya Naam has got more to do with
transcendental,
yeah, the transcendental guna naam rupa of the Lord, whereas the gauna naam have got to do with his material connection. Very good point, Mahesh. You know, his material connection. So it is only because of the material world that the Lord has got names like Paramatma, right? Or what other names did we see? creator, etc. So spiritual world is never created. The moment you say the Lord is a creator, it is talking about the material world. So those are the Gauna Nams. So this is what we saw. Good. Anything else? Any other points? Alright. So we are up to verse 21, right? Today we'll do verse 21 to 27, right? Yeah. Okay. O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul, O Partha, am I reading the correct verse or no? Sorry, I went to next chapter. Too early. Sorry. 21-22. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Rajkumar Prabhu, you want to read? I want to read the purport.
Although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his consciousness, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, in this case, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee. He takes great pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does being the giver of orders. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a few devotees is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is the infallible master of all this circumstances.
Thank you, bro. Ruchi Mataji?
As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading persons present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of peacemaking anywhere on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war.
So what are the points here?
Krishna is an address plus Arjuna.
Okay. Meaning? Achyuta means?
Infallible.
Yeah.
If he says something, he will fulfill that.
Even though Lord is the master of everyone, but still he likes to follow the order of his pure devotees for the pleasure.
Hmm. Yeah.
For his pleasure.
Okay. Yes.
In case of Krishna, because of their only possible with this background, it's not possible with any other person but Krishna, where the exchange of love can happen, and he can, the rare quality that only he is willing to, we don't find this thing in other exchanges with other demigods or others, where he serves his devotee. The exchange of love is only a unique quality that Krishna has.
Good point. Anything else? Lots of points are coming in this. We are going to discuss this verse for the next probably 40 minutes. These two verses. So many, so much is there.
Lord acts in his positions. Once he takes a particular position, he acts according to the position, even though he is Supreme Lord, but at the same time, his position is not challenged by acting that way.
Yeah.
Lord is always...
Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, Prabhu.
Krishna is infallible and we are infallible.
Okay. There you go. Yes.
He also said there is costless mercy that he has been engaged. He is engaged in the service of his friend. Although he is not obligated.
Very good.
Costless mercy,
yes. Okay, we'll give Dhanashekhar Prabhu first. Yeah, I saw his hand first. Yeah, please raise your hands if you want to make a point so that, you know. Yeah.
Lord is always seeking an opportunity to make a service of his devotees and he will be
most happy. Yes, Jaimani Prabhu.
Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to
do so. Obstinacy of Duryodhana.
You mentioned that the Lord takes pressure since pure devotees assume that when he pushes out. Though the devotees don't want to take the orders of the Lord, Lord is waiting for an opportunity. We see in the past of the acharas also that some of the chastises, whenever they take shut off or they take some help from Radharani. So,
Because you were talking about Bhishma Devendra class, I think it's the second verse, I mean the next verse. There was an analogy which was given by Prabhupada regarding Krishna's Bhaktavatsala nature. He was telling, even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is fulfilling the desire of Arjuna just as a father fulfills the desire of a son. You know what? You take him to the lab just out of love. And in this verse it shows how much the Lord loves his devotees and how much he is willing to sacrifice for the devotees.
Okay, good point, Prabhu. Very nice.
Shows the quality of Arjuna as a great warrior. You want to examine the both sides of Arjuna. That's why he wants Krishna to go to the center and see him. He wants to see all the people
who want to find him. Also, the same is also exhibiting quality of parent. The parents who derive great pleasure when they see their children doing well or growing and supporting them. So that is the mood also Krishna is very clearly.
Okay.
One more question. What is this causeless mercy? How do you exactly define Krishna's or spiritual master's causeless mercy? What does this two words, causeless mercy, mean? Exact definition.
That's why it's called causeless.
What cause is being discussed here? That there is no cause behind.
There is no cause.
I mean,
there should be some.
There is no cause.
I mean, there is no reason for Krishna giving us mercy, but still, in spite of that, he is giving us mercy. That's why it's called as causeless mercy.
Yes.
Because you are so fallen that there is no cause for him to give us mercy.
Okay, causeless mercy means. Causeless mercy means that the soul does not have, technically, I'll try and answer that question. Causeless mercy means the soul does not have any bhakti unmukhi shukrati. In our bhakti vriksha, we have discussed this point, but maybe some of you who are not coming, who didn't have the opportunity to come for bhakti vriksha, for you all it may be new term. There are many types of shukratis. Karmon Mukhi Shukrati. Then there is Jnanon Mukhi Shukrati. Then there is Agyata Shukrati. And then there is Bhakti Unmukhi Shukrati. Karmon Mukhe Shukriti. One gets Karmon Mukhe Shukriti when? Karmon Mukhe Shukriti comes from the word karma. When one does good karma, pious activities, like opening a charitable. We'll have to really close the door quickly. What's the problem? Can close the door. So, Karmon Mukhe Shukriti comes from the word karma, which means it is that Shukriti which one attains, one gets by performing pious activities in the previous lives. What are pious activities? Pious activities are those, for example, which are done typically in a mode of goodness. Like you have taken care of the old age people, right? Or you have fed the poor, and so on and so forth. All those activities come as pious. Now, the Sukriti or benefit which one gets from that goes into your Karmon Mukhe Sukriti account. Like that. You can consider this as a chart of accounts with four accounts. Okay, it goes here. Right? But it is said that Janma Koti Sukriti na labhyate, which means that you may have Koti Koti Karmon Mukhe Sukriti, but it will not lead you to bhakti automatically. You can be in a mode of goodness for thousands and thousands of years or janmas, but automatically one never can come to the platform of worshipping Krishna simply because you are doing all these mode of goodness activities. Automatically it will not happen. Jnanon Mukhe Sukriti is the Sukriti which one gets by virtue of one's jnana. Just by one's virtue of reading things, reading about matter and spirit, just doing an analytical study of the Vedas. No, all those things will give you some knowledge. It may impact your next lifetime because whatever we did in the previous lifetime, we will, you know, it will come as bijam, kutam, everything will come in the next lifetime. So we will again have a penchant for those things, but again, it doesn't automatically lead to bhakti. Agyata Sukriti is a person who may not have been pious, who may not have touched the Vedas in his lifetime. He has been living a promiscuous life. You know, flirting with girls, you know, molesting, raping, so many things. Like Jagai and Madai, stealing, plundering, smuggling, so many things the person must have done. But what happened was, at some time in his lifetime, you know, let's say this person he dug a well near his house. He dug a well because he wanted water for his house. But incidentally, one day one sadhu came there and drank from that well. So unknown to this person, he has served that sadhu. So immediately then, what comes? Bhakti comes from this. So this begets bhakti. Does it make sense? Unknown to the person, he has served a Vaishnava. So by serving a Vaishnava, whether you knowingly do it, unknowingly do it, you will get bhakti. So in the next lifetime, somehow that person may come in touch with Vaishnavas. Or Bhakti Unmukhi Shukriti itself. Because we have done Bhakti in the past lifetime, then we have Shukriti, therefore we will do Bhakti in the next lifetime. So therefore, causeless mercy means a person doesn't have any of this, but still somehow by causeless mercy he is coming into Bhakti. How does that happen and why does that happen? So the greatest example of that is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, nobody called him to the West. Did anyone call him? Please come to the West. There is lack of Krishna Bhakti. No. Prabhupada landed there because his heart was melting. He is being a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is para dukkha dukkhi. He can't see the suffering of other human beings. So what Prabhupada did, he sat on Jaladutta. He went there and he just went and chose the hippies to bestow his causeless mercy. It was not that the hippies had dug some well somewhere and Prabhupada, you know, drank water from that. No, nothing like that. Nothing like that happened. He just went and showered his affection on them. So that is called as causeless mercy. So in fact, there is a conversation where the devotees are asking Prabhupada at some point in time, what did we do? We don't understand. To get your What is our qualification to do bhakti? So Prabhupada said, no, you don't have any qualifications. I made your qualification. Prabhupada told them like that.
I created your qualification.
Hmm? So, I created your qualification. So, the Sukriti was created. Why? Causeless mercy. So, is it clear? What is causeless mercy?
You must have done some Ajat Sukriti in the past life.
Causeless mercy. Causeless doesn't have a cause. So there is no question of Agyata or whatever. It doesn't have a cause. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the Madhurya Kadambini that bhakti inside one devotee comes because another devotee desperately desires that this devotee should become a devotee. So there is nothing. There is no reason for that. So, he concludes, there is a beautiful conversation. If you can read Madhurya Kadambini, the first 3 or 4 pages, it is mentioned that how does someone become a devotee? And there he is saying, Janma Koti Sukriti, no, many, many lifetimes if you do this, you will not get bhakti. Many, many lifetimes of this, no bhakti. We may not have done anything. But simply because a Vaishnava desires that we become a devotee, the Vaishnava will keep on pushing us. Prabhu, please do around karo yaar. No, next time, after every Ekadashi, at least go to 4 rounds, go to 16 rounds. No, some Vaishnava will keep pushing you. That is simply because of the heart of that Vaishnava. He really wants that devotee not to come back into this material world. And that was Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada really did not want. So he went to the most abominable place in US and he chose those people as Patra, who will never have any qualification. In fact, Prabhupada did not go around to the churches and see who are the good Christians. Let me, you know, see them. So he went to those people who he knew will never have any qualification whatsoever. They have no idea of they are on LSD. Can you imagine? They are on LSD. They are not even ordinary walking, talking people. They are already, you know, there is material world is an illusion. On top of that, they are in further illusion. They are on LSD and then drinks on top of that. So you can imagine. So Prabhupada chose them and made them into, many of them have become, you know, He really rose them. Some of them have become sannyasis. You know, from that point. Like that. So that is called as causeless mercy. Sorry, Prabhu, you had a... Yeah, I think you had a point too.
Yeah, I just want... can you elaborate more the last one? Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti.
Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. If you see the verse what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Neha Vikrama Nashosti Pratvayana Vidyate Svalpa Mapyasa Dharmasya Trayate Mahatubhayat. So here, there it is written that whatever devotion that we do, there is no loss or diminution. What do you mean by that? Which means the devotional bank account is intact. It will get carried wherever in the next lifetime, you will start from wherever you have left. So that is that Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Because we did Bhakti in the last lifetime, therefore we will do Bhakti in this lifetime also.
Any jiva who is born in this material world, he will be either attached to one of these Sukriti or he has to come into like a cycle one by one.
A jiva, most of the jivas in this material world have got none of this. Yeah. In fact, today morning only I was reading this verse which says, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Sudurlabha prashantatma kotishva api mahamune. This is coming from the pastime of Chitraketu in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is one of our key memory verses, I think, for our exam. So I was doing that verse this morning. There it is mentioned that there may be many muktas and there may be many siddhas. Mukta means people who are liberated, and siddhas means people who know, who have the knowledge of liberation, who can rise above matter. Those people are called as siddha purushas, and muktas are those people who are liberated. He said, you may find so many people, muktas and siddhas, but a true devotee of the Lord, sudhurlabha prashantatma that too. Sudhurlabha, such a person who is very happy in Krishna consciousness, prashanta atma. Kotishva api mahamune. Out of these millions and millions, you will not find such a person. So, a devotee is extremely rare in that sense. So, if you see, answering your question, most of the jivas don't fall into these categories at all. Some of them may be muktas and, you know, they may have jnanon mukhi sukriti at best, but and some, many have karmon mukhi sukriti, but most of them don't have this. This Kali Yuga going on. The Kalav Shudra Sambhava. Mostly we will find Shudras, third class and fifth class men. One minute. Can I take the question towards the end now? Is it pertaining to this verse or is it, you know, because again, we have just little bit digressed here. Okay.
In chapter 7, Lord Krishna says,
I prefer Ajnani. I think he says people who start to begin to worship me, in that he mentions about three kind of people, and he says of all the people I prefer Ajnani. So, but you were saying here in the here you mentioned that Jnanamukhi may not begin bhakti in the next life, but in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that all the people who begin to worship me, like some people worship for wealth, some people worship for distress or something. And there is third category, which is Jnani. And he says, I prefer Jnani of all the...
Correct. So, yeah. So, the verse you are referring to is Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam. Artho Artyate Jignashu Nani. So, but what is Krishna saying? These kind of people come to?
Begin to worship me.
Begin to worship who? Me. That is the point. Whereas here, what we are talking about is the Mayavadis. People who are envious of Krishna, they are not worshipping Krishna. They are just pursuing jnana.
Okay.
There is a difference between jnana and jnana yoga. Wait for 3 or 4 more classes. We will get into depths of yoga ladder. That time you will understand all the differences.
Okay.
The subtleties you will understand. Okay. Skip that question. Alright, so we'll go ahead. So, this verse is the, it marks the appearance of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord is just now entering. Till 21 verses, the Lord has not even, first 20 verses he was not there. One conch shell was blown, that's all. Right? But this is the first time that he is actually being described. So, the Lord is described here as infallible or achyuta. Achyuta means infallible, a person who cannot commit any mistakes. Whereas who are we? We are tathastha shakti. Tathastha shakti. The Lord is who? He is a superior. Lord is Purusha. He is the cause of all causes. Right? And we are products of his superior energy. Certainly. But we are superior marginal energy. Prakriti or matter is made of the inferior energy of the Lord. But jivas are made of the superior. Because mamaiva amsha jiva loke. So, because the Lord himself is superior energy, his amsha is also superior energy. But the difference between the Lord and us is that the Lord is achyuta, infallible, whereas we are vulnerable to come under the subjugation of the three modes of material nature. That is why, and under the three modes of material nature, we develop 4 problems. What are the 4 problems we develop? We can commit mistakes, or we can be under illusion, we have cheating propensity, and our senses are imperfect. This is from Ishopanishad, invocation. Rupa's purport, if you read, you will find these points. Whereas the Lord does not have these problems. The Lord can never be subjugated by Mahamaya. There are two energies of the Lord. One is called as Yoga Maya, and other is called as Mahamaya. Yoga Maya is also, in one sense, covers devotees, and Mahamaya also covers devotees. Yoga Maya covers the Lord. Yoga Maya covers the Lord himself and makes him forget his godhood. Mahamaya covers the Jiva and makes the Jiva forget his servanthood. Does it make sense? Yoga Maya makes Lord forget his godhood, and Mahamaya makes the Jivas forget their servanthood. So on the one hand, the Yoga Maya is, the Lord is saying that I enough of being God. I don't want to be God for some time. I want to enjoy pastimes which have mellows with my devotees. On the other hand, the Jiva is getting more and more convinced that he is God and the supreme controller. This is how it works. Both the energies. This Mahamaya is an energy of the Lord, but the Lord is never under the subjugation of Mahamaya. This is a very important point. This differentiates Vaishnava philosophy from Mayavada philosophy. Mayavadis say that ultimately the Param Satyam is Brahman. That too, not hardcore Mayavadis, it's Brahmavadis. So ultimate truth is Brahman, and from that Brahman, when the Brahman comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, right? That is Krishna. You call that as Rama, you call that as anything. So all of us are same. There is no difference. Krishna is also a product. Krishna is also a manifestation of Brahman when it has come into the contact of three modes of material nature. Like that. Okay. So, what is
it?
Huh? Greg Prabhu. But someone can request him. He is a very nice man. You can tell him that. Yeah. He will understand. Alright.
Are they
The Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same personality. Same personality. Same personality. Shakti Tattva. Okay, it is said that the original Yoga Maya comes from Subhadra. Subhadra is also called as Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya, when Yoga Maya manifests in the material world, she manifests as Durga Devi, who is also called as Trigunamayi. I'll take your question. Just hold on. So when Yoga Maya comes into take place the role in the material world, she expands as Durga to serve the Lord. But it's all coming under the same Shakti Tattva. The origin of all Shakti Tattva is who? Radharani. Right? So Yoga Maya serves in the spiritual world and Mahamaya serves in the material world. However, Yoga Maya can also come and serve in the material world. How that is happening? That is happening here. She is putting Arjuna, who is otherwise a pure devotee, into some illusion, so he is lamenting. You understand that way? So in one sense, Arjuna seems to be under the influence of Mahamaya. But actually he is under the influence of Maya as ordained by the Lord. So that's an important point to understand. Arjuna's bewilderment cannot be just compared to the bewilderment of an ordinary soul. It is happening by the will and desire of Krishna. Like that. Okay. So Durga Devi is Mahamaya in the material world. She is called as Trigunamayi. Trigunamayi means what? She controls all of us. She keeps us, she pierces us with the mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And by that piercing, she holds us firmly in the material world. With her leg, she is holding like Mahishasura was held. Like that, she is holding us firmly in this material world. But if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then the devotees don't come under her jurisdiction. If devotees who transcend the three modes of material nature do not come under her jurisdiction. Like that. Yeah.
So Prabhu, Krishna voluntarily comes under the control of Yoga Maya, right? When he wants to forget his body.
Yes, yes. He voluntarily comes under Yoga Maya.
Yoga Maya even covers the devotees of the Lord, no? She makes them forget the burden of falling.
Yes, Yoga Maya also serves to cover the devotees of the Lord. Yes.
If Krishna forgets under Yoga Maya that he is the Lord, then how he remembers it again?
It's inconceivable. Yes, it is inconceivable.
And I had read in one place that in Vrindavan, Krishna is always covered by Yoga Maya, but when there is a threat of a demon or something, the Vasudev teacher comes out and fights. Krishna never fights with the demons. He is always enjoying pastimes under the Yoga Maya potency. But the Vasudev teacher of Krishna, he has all these expansions of Vasudeva. So that teacher comes out, the energy comes out and fights with the demons.
And how that Vasudeva feature comes out is inconceivable. So what triggers that Vasudeva figure? Is there a time when Krishna says, oh, now Vasudeva figure should come? The moment he's thinking, now my Vasudeva feature should come out, that means he has not forgotten his godhood. No, in one sense. So in that sense, it is inconceivable how he does that.
There's a technical word called Mukdata. Mukdata. So God simultaneously remembers and forgets.
And forgets. Yeah. Inconceivable. Okay. Sorry, you had a point, Prabhu?
No, actually, my question was regarding Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya, many of the people have wanted to question, so it's okay, but still, I'm wondering how can the Lord be under any Maya?
The Lord is not under the subjugation of Yoga Maya because Yoga Maya is more powerful. The Lord instructs Yoga Maya to serve him in that way. For example, I can give you a material example closest to that. I am the CEO of a company, so I am responsible for making policies and procedures for that company. So I am empowering my security, saying that don't allow anyone with an I card, and I also show my I card and I enter. In one sense, who made the policy? I only made, and the security is under me only. So I only told him, don't allow anyone, and don't allow me also, therefore, to enter without an I card. Something like that. That's the closest I can say. It doesn't mean the security guy becomes more powerful than the owner of the company. Just because he is authorized to, whatever. Because if the owner wants, he can just tell the security guy that, I didn't have my pass. And the security guy will not say, no, sorry, you can't enter. No. Because my boss has told. Who is the boss? He is only the boss. So he can make an exception like that.
Quick question.
Yeah.
But what is Parvati Devi's position in respect to Maya? Is she...
Parvati Devi is the consort of Shiva, and I think Parvati and Durga are the same tattva. Same tattva. Yeah. Okay. So the Lord is Achyuta, whereas the Jiva commits four mistakes. Okay. We'll have to go a bit fast. Okay. So I'll not take some questions for some time till we get back. You know, our time management. Right. So the Jiva commits is vulnerable because of being Tathastha Shakti. There is an interesting verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which you may want to note down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Bhuliya Jiva. Jiva. Jiva is forgetting Krishna. Krishna Bhuliya Jiva Bhoga Vanchakare. Bhoga Vancha means what? Trying to enjoy the material world. Krishna Bhuliya Jiva Bhoga Vanchakare. Pashate Maya Tare Jhapatiya Dhare. So what happens? Maya comes and catches. The moment the Jiva desires to enjoy separately from the Lord, immediately Jhapatiya Dhare. Quickly it comes and catches. So the soul comes under the influence of the Mahamaya. Krishna Bahir Mukha.
Arjuna was explaining that when we face away from Maya, away from Krishna, then catches.
Okay. So is it Krishna Bahir Mukha Jiva Bhoga Vanchakare? Okay.
Krishna Bulisa Jiva Bahir Mukha.
No, that's a different verse. There's two verses.
Yeah, this is what I saw in the chair. Yeah, but maybe, yeah. But same. In essence, it's the same. If you forget Krishna, Maya will Jhapatiya Dhare.
Yeah.
I don't know the verse number, but I can tell you in the next class. Okay. So, the Lord is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in 10.12 as Purusham Shashvatam Adhyam. Which means that he is the Purusha, he is the original person. All other is, everything else is Prakriti. Prakriti is the controlled and Purusha is the controller. So he doesn't come into the contract, enter the three modes of material nature. So he is Purusha. So actually orders must come from him because he is the controller. So he is the only one who is authorized to give orders. But what is happening here? Arjuna is giving him orders. That is the mood of the verse. Now Arjuna is giving orders and the Lord is obeying that. Why? Because he is Achyuta. He never fails in reciprocating with his devotees out of affection. We may fail. Arvind Prabhu may invite me to his house and give him nice prasadam, and next day is his birthday. I may have nice prasadam and come and nicely sleep after eating full stomach, and next day I can forget that it is his birthday. Right? I mean, I'm just using you as an example. Huh? Okay. So, Arvind Prabhu is, of course, yeah. But let's say somebody may be there, whose house I went to, and then I ate nicely and then I came, and next day that person's birthday was there, and then I didn't wish that person. And the person may think that, this Jagannathram rascal, I invited him yesterday, so nicely aake achcha se khaake gaya mera ghar pe, and then he has forgotten to wish me next day. I told yesterday also, my wife told that my Prabhuji's birthday tomorrow, like that. Please bless Prabhuji. And then next day this fellow has forgotten. Now this is why? Because Jagannath Ram is a conditioned soul. He can make mistakes, illusion, and cheating propensity is also there. Acha Mataji, did you tell that it was his birthday? Oh, I couldn't remember Mataji, like that. Okay. And senses are imperfect. So all of us are going to be imperfect in reciprocating with others. And that is why we have relationship problem, no? No, they called five times, we called five times, they didn't call even once. No, sometimes like that, these things are there, right? We did this for them, but they didn't do this for us. So this is a completely imperfect world we are living in, and we cannot perfectly reciprocate with anybody in this world. Even if we try to, there will be still problem. Let us say, even if we take that step, okay, let us know, they called us twice for dinner, we will call them six times for dinner to our house. So we will reciprocate like that. But then what will happen is, after that, if they don't call us third time, then we will also have a problem. They called twice, we called six times. And now they didn't call third time also like that. Or when their parents came, then we invited their parents for prasadam. But when my parents came, they didn't invite my parents for prasadam. You know, we get caught up in all these things. And our relationships are all topsy-turvy after that, right? Whereas Krishna is the only person who can reciprocate perfectly with everyone. With full affection. Because he is Achyuta and he has got genuine love. His love is not about calculations and etiquettes and being correct. You know, he's beyond all that. Genuine. Which means what? If he wants to slap you, he'll come and give you a slap. As simple as that. No? We may not. Even if we see some devotee is, you know, sometimes doing something wrong, we may say, apunko kya karne ka hai? What should I do? The devotee is doing like that. Okay. No, I didn't see like that. Why? Because, you know, why we have to spoil our relationship? No, unnecessarily. There are other people who will tell like that. But what will Krishna come and do? He'll give one slap. Right? Or a pure devotee, an Uttam Adhikari, who doesn't care who thinks what about that person. Such a person has got nothing to gain in this world. Right? He is only dealing out of pure love. So he can come and give us a slap like that. So even his chastisement or his love, they are all perfect. Because he doesn't want anything from us, except that he wants to give us our love. Of course, no doubt that he is also expecting us to love him. But he will not force us to love him like that. But he is a supreme father. Just like a father keeps chastising the child, father doesn't think, if I slap my son, maybe tomorrow my son may not, you know, my superannuation may go down and I may be dependent on my son. The father doesn't do all those calculations. So let me maintain, you know, nice diplomatic relationship with my child so that tomorrow he will take care of father. No. Father will still go and slap. No, if he knows. Because he doesn't want anything. It's only out of love he's doing. So Lord's reciprocation is like that. So he, because when there is love, naturally when there is love, then there is no need for etiquettes, and therefore there is no probability that we may fail in etiquette somewhere, and therefore relationship will get spoiled. No? There is no calculations there when there is love. When there is love, the person can keep on doing for the other person and never even think that I did so much for that person. Like I will never think that I am doing so much for Aditya, you know. You may not think you are doing so much for Sanjita. You are not calculating, you know. So many dollars I have spent, you know, in your education. You are not going to do it. Tomorrow, even if she doesn't look at us, still you will say, no, I will do more for her. Like that. So the closest reciprocation in this material world is the love of a mother to the son or daughter. That is the closest that we can get in terms of reciprocation. Still we cannot get there. Still sometimes the mother expects. What is it, you know? Sometimes when the son becomes Krishna conscious, the mother will say, I didn't expect this, you know, from you. Right? The parents are then, you know, they are not very, very much in favor that we are not, you know, growing in the organization, hierarchy. You know, we are not pursuing material aspirations. So at some time, even you find that there are certain expectations of the parents from the children. Why did you, you know, do like this? Why did you refuse a promotion when it was coming? You know, things can come like that. But Krishna's reciprocation is perfect. Even parent reciprocation also may have that little bit of imperfection. Or the relationship between a parent and a mother and a son is best tested when the son gets married and the daughter-in-law comes home. That time the relationship between the mother and son is also tested. How much faith the mother has in the integrity of the son towards the mother. Right? So all that is questionable. So in this material world, there is no relationship which is going to be pakka. Not possible. Because the material world is designed to frustrate. It is designed to frustrate. So if we try it and, you know, try to, you know, suck some juice out of this saying that, oh, it will be nectarian, it is not going to happen. So perfect reciprocation only will come from that person who is Achyuta or infallible. Krishna himself. And that aspect of his, wherein he is showering his causeless love without expectation of any results. Causelessly, he is bestowing his mercy and giving on, keeping on supporting the Pandavas and protecting them all the time. That feature is called as Bhakta Vatsala. So Krishna's protective feature, where he protects his devotee out of love. So there are many examples where the Lord, famous examples where the Lord has demonstrated his Bhakta Vatsala feature. Most famous example is Draupadi. Lord Krishna went to the Pandava's house, and when the Lord was cutting a fruit, he accidentally cut his finger and little bit of blood started coming, and Draupadi was wearing a very expensive garment. No? Immediately she didn't hesitate and she tore that garment and he tied it on to prevent the Lord from bleeding. And the Lord immediately said that for every fiber of this, I'll reciprocate with you at some time. Immediately he said that. And when Dushasana was trying to disrobe her, when the last cloth was going to come out of their body, at that time only actually she called Krishna. Till that time she was depending on her husband's will save her. But when the last, she realized that now I'm going to be naked in the assembly. Last Krishna, she said, and then the cloth started coming automatically. And the Lord responded like that. So this is the Bhakta Vatsala feature, where he is protecting the chastity of his female devotee. Like that. The other example is Akshaya Patra, which Yamanalila shared with me yesterday. Very nice pastime. Duryodhana invited Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is known for his anger. Right? If he is not respected, he can create misery for anyone. Like that. So Durvasa Muni, Duryodhana invited specifically, treated him very nicely. And Duryodhana knew very well that the Pandavas don't have anything, because the Pandavas are traveling outside. They were in the forest. He knew that they don't have any resources like this. But Duryodhana very cleverly told Durvasa Muni, thank you for visiting us. Please also give my brothers, the Pandavas, an opportunity to serve you. He put Chavi Maharaj, yes, you know, Chavi Maharaj. No? So then Durvasa Muni said, okay, I'll go. And then Durvasa Muni, when he went there, and Duryodhana also specifically told, go at this time and please take their service. Why at that time? At that time the Pandavas have already finished eating and they wouldn't have anything like that. So Durvasa Muni suddenly went, and then he went where the Pandavas are staying, and then he told the Pandavas that he told Draupadi, I am coming for lunch now. And at that time, they had already finished eating. And Draupadi had an Akshaya Patra. The characteristic of that Akshaya Patra was that it will go on producing food till the time that Draupadi eats. Once Draupadi eats, it will stop every day. So Draupadi had already eaten. So it stopped producing anything, and then Durvasa Muni entered. That was the timing which Duryodhana gave to embarrass the Pandavas. So she didn't know what to do. And Durvasa Muni said, he got how many members? 5,000.
Huh?
10,000 people for prasadam. So they said, we are all going to take bath and come, please keep everything ready, like that. So she didn't know what to do, but what she thought of Krishna. Krishna immediately came there, and Krishna said, what is the problem? He said, we have to feed these people. So Krishna said, forget about him, you feed me first. So Draupadi told him, we don't have anything, what do I feed you? No, say Akshaya Patra, it is there, go and see. And in Akshaya Patra, in one corner there was a remnant of food that was sticking. And Krishna said, give me that. Lord took that and did dakar. You know what is dakar? Burping. Like that. Yepam. He took that and he did burping. Just that. And the moment the Lord burped, it is said, if you water the root of the tree, then the whole world was satisfied by that. And Durvasa Muni and all his people, suddenly they felt as if they have eaten till here. And Durvasa Muni got worried. Now I have told that Yudhishthira and Draupadi, and I have told them to cook for me. If I go there and if I don't eat, that Bhima will finish me. So he was scared. And from there itself, they absconded. They never came. In fact, Krishna said, go and call them. And Draupadi was thinking, what do you mean go and call them? There is nothing. Go and call them. And they had complete faith in Krishna. So they went and saw. So one man was said, no, they have all gone away from here. They hurriedly left from this place. So this is the power, this is how Krishna protected the devotee's dignity. So he protected the chastity, he protected the dignity of a devotee. Then he protected Arjuna. When Ashwatthama beheaded the five children. Okay. When Arjuna beheaded the five children of the Pandavas, Ashwatthama beheaded the five children of the Pandavas and he ran away from there. Then Arjuna was chasing Ashwatthama. Who was the charioteer? Krishna was the charioteer. He was chasing. He saw him, in quite a distance. He caught up with him and Ashwatthama realized he can't do anything now. He can't. So he turned around and released the Brahmastra at Arjuna without realizing that he did not know how to take back the Brahmastra. He just didn't think. He just released the Brahmastra. Arjuna is seeing the Brahmastra come towards him, and he can't do anything. So he asks Krishna, what should I do now? Krishna advises him, you release another Brahmastra because a Brahmastra can counter another Brahmastra. And that's how he saved Arjuna at that point in time. Later on, Ashwatthama did not, you know, sit tight after that also. After he was insulted, he went back again and he released Brahmastra at Uttara's womb to kill Maharaj Parikshit because he wanted to wipe out the last trace of the Pandava lineage. At that time, Krishna himself entered the womb of Uttara and gave darshan to Maharaj Parikshit even before he was born. Right? And then protected her womb from the... And that is another feature of Bhakta Vatsala. So the Lord can save in any situation. How he saves is beyond logic. He saved Prahlad. That was beyond logic. Neither day nor night, so many benedictions Hiranyakashipu had, the Lord changed the rules of the game. He appeared in a form which is neither animal nor man, which was neither daytime nor nighttime, which was neither inside nor outside. He could not be killed by any weapon, so he tore him with his fingernails. No? So he can change the rules of the game to protect his devotee. So this is the Bhakta Vatsala feature of the Lord. And the pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita also, when the Muslims, they beat up Haridas Thakur in 22 marketplaces, they were whipping him. Because the Qazi was very envious of Haridas Thakur. So they whipped him. And after all the whipping, Haridas Thakur simply got up and again started walking. You know, came back. They thought he had died. But then what happened next day when he met Mahaprabhu, then Mahaprabhu showed the back and all the whips Mahaprabhu had taken on his back. That is how Lord Krishna took all the whip for his devotee. So, Bhakta Vatsala. So, there are so many examples that are given. Another interesting example is when the four Kumaras, when they entered the Vaikuntha Loka. What happened when they entered the Vaikuntha Loka? Two people stopped them at the gate. Who were those two people? Jay and Vijay. They said, hang on, where are you going? No? They said, oh, obviously we are Brahmanas. How can you stop us? And then there was an argument which took place. The moment, and then they cursed Jay and Vijay, that we curse you that you will come into the material world. And then they came as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and so on and so forth. And Jagai and Madai in Kali Yuga. So that is a different pastime, but that's a result of that pastime. But the moment that altercation was happening, it is mentioned that Lord Vishnu was sitting inside. He was sitting inside. When he knew that Jai Vijay, his devotees are being threatened by the four Kumaras, he personally came running out and without slippers, right? Without anything. On his feet. He just came running outside on his feet. And he pacified the Sanat Kumaras by telling them, if my devotees have done any harm, then I am willing to cut off my own arm, he said. So who is saying this? Narayana is saying this. Right? So this is the intensity of his love for his devotee. The Bhakta Vatsala feature. Now, Bhakta Vatsala means that the Lord will always protect the devotee. He never fails to protect his devotee. We lost some time in the initial stages because we had to discuss that children area. We lost some time. Are you okay if we go for another 5-10 minutes?
Okay.
Or do you want me to... I'm happy to even compress it. So I don't have a problem. Whichever way, if you all want to end on time, I'll end on time also. Or if you are willing to go for 5-7 minutes here and there. Okay? You leave. Okay. Fine. Okay. So, the Lord... His Bhakta Vatsala, he will always protect the devotee. Now, recently, there was an air crash in Nepal. Have you heard of that?
Yep.
Yeah. In Nepal, there is a place called as, what is it? Jomsom. In Jomsom, which is in the up in the Himalayas. There is a place called Muktinath. And there is also a place called as, what kund is that?
Damodar
Kund, yes. Yes, Damodar Kund, where the shilas are there, Shaligram shilas can be found. So many devotees from Chaupati temple, they were there in that plane. And that plane, while landing at Jomsom airport, crashed. And all the devotees died. The people who were saved were non-devotees. Where is Bhakta Vatsala? How should we understand this? The Lord should have saved his devotees, right? Instead, he saved a Dutch man and his wife who were not devotees. Not because they were Dutch, but because they were not devotees. That is the question. Right? So, how do we understand this?
Protect the soul.
Okay. Yes. He protects the soul. He can also protect the body if he wants. So there are So how do we understand this situation? So as Viraj Prabhu said, that we should always not assume that the Lord will give us protection the way we want to be protected. We are imposing our consciousness now on Him. We are saying that, oh Lord, please do this for me. Please protect my bank balance. Lord, the share market is going down. Your Bhakta Vatsala. You know, please ensure that the companies in which I have invested doesn't go down. No. So what we are trying to do is that our idea is self-preservation. Preservation of our body, preservation of our bank balance, right? Protection of our children. Right? So we are trying to pray to the Lord in one sense that please do not give me any troubles in this lifetime. Bas zindagi aise hi first class nikal jaye. You know? And then towards the end, my dear Lord, come and take me on the chariot. Jada tras nahi. Not much difficulty like that. Because after all, I am trying to chant attentively. I am trying to follow the four regulative principles. Oh Bhakta Vatsala, please come. Oh my dear Lord, I have so many material desires. I want my children to study in grammar school. But at the same time, oh my dear Lord, please may my son become Prahalad Maharaj. But he will go to, you know, Melbourne grammar. But please make him Prahalad Maharaj. My Lord, my son will learn guitar. My son will do all kinds of sports. He has to be good at footy because unfortunately the jobs demand that. But oh my dear Lord, let him not get attached to that sport. This is how our... Isn't that the type of prayers that we do? It's a little bit absurd. But this is how the prayers are. Isn't it? So, we are trying to look at Lord as Bhakta Vatsala to be our servant the way that we want Him to always serve us. But Bhakta Vatsala, the Lord decides what He wants to protect, when He wants to protect, how He wants to protect, if He wants to protect, all those things He will decide. He is deciding. But one thing is there. Whatever He does, He will always protect. He will protect. We may not understand the way, comprehend the way that He protects. So there are some important points that I want to share based on a lecture which my godbrother Govind Prabhu gave. He was commenting on this air crash. How to understand. I have taken some notes. Though I will never be able to repeat this as good as he does, because he is speaking out of purity and I am speaking out of knowledge. So there will always be that difference. So please bear with me. He says, in our life, we want to see Krishna. A devotee thinks that because he is a devotee or she is a devotee, we always expect paranormal experiences in our life. You know, we expect that one day Krishna will come and, you know, dance, or deities will start little bit, show a little bit of dance and then stop. You know, we are always expecting something paranormal that will happen, you know, with us. Why? Because we are chanting four 16 rounds and following four regulative principles, which Prabhupada said is a basic. Otherwise, we are Shudras, he said. So even for doing that, we are expecting the Lord should dance, you know, in our house. Isn't it? Yeah? Of course, I'm remembering some Bollywood dialogue, you know, that Johnny Lever says, "Mai ka nachun kya?" He says, you know, if because you are doing something, should I dance like that? No. So like that, if you really think about the Lord, what are we doing? We are giving Him one apple, one orange in the morning, you know, and one agarbatti, which is, you know, 20 paise. And then we are expecting that He will give us paranormal experiences in our life. You know? We are and then we are full of envy and pride, right? But we think that because we are Varsha Puja members, $2 a day we are doing, you know, or $5 maximum nowadays I have given. So then the Lord should, you know, be very happy and, you know, show me some kind of signals in my life, you know, like that. But actually, you know, the question is, we are holding back so many things. We have so many material desires. We still have lust, anger, envy, greed, pride in our heart. So we are nowhere. But given we compare ourselves with the karmis, with whom we spend most of the time during the day in our office. We see them eating meat, drinking alcohol, you know, moving around, you know, promiscuously with other women. You know, we see all these things happening. So sometimes we think we are very pure. But from an absolute sense, if we see somebody like Madhavendra Puri and then we compare ourselves, then where are we? One apple and one orange in the morning. You know, at the end of the day, actually the gap is very huge between Goswamis and most of us. Isn't it? At least myself, the gap is huge. I can say for myself, huge gap is there. But still we are expecting paranormal experience. So Govind Sarma is bringing that mood in the lecture. He is saying that we people expect all this paranormal experience, and because of that, we fail to see Krishna in normal experiences of life. Because we want to only see him through paranormal experiences in life. So that is one point, interesting point he makes. He says that the material world is designed according to our desires. The material world he has designed according to our desires. Because we wanted to enjoy this material world, therefore he designed all these things. So he has designed it to suit all of us. So we cannot blame him that why in this material world things are working like this. But we have chosen that he builds the material world in a particular way, wherein we wanted to be the controllers for some time. So he has built it like that. And he says, therefore, we cannot blame him for everything that happens. Neither can we think that because we are chanting, you know, 16 rounds and following four regulative principles, whatever that is applicable for non-devotees is no longer applicable for us. He gives an example saying that if I don't brush my teeth every day, saying that Prabhu, this holy mouth of mine is purified by chanting Hare Krishna, then our mouth will stink. We have to brush our teeth in the morning. Isn't it? It's not that, you know, we become transcendental. Isn't it? Our sweat will stink. Right? So it's not the products coming out of our body will suddenly, like Rishabhadev, you know, for miles it will be fragrant. No. So he's saying, please do not assume so many things because you are doing 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. You are as normal as anyone else. But Krishna will protect you. But don't think that it has become your right, that we have become so elevated that Krishna will now start protecting us the way that, you know, he will understand what exactly is going on in our mind and he will align with that perfectly so that we are very happy in this material world. Because actually, just imagine, if he starts doing that, oh Krishna, you know, I just want to be a little bit one step above in the organization I want to go, so that then I can, you know, I can just sit nicely in the office and make everyone else work. And then we expect that, oh Krishna, that promotion didn't come, you know. Now if he actually gives that promotion and we sit nicely, that is working, more salary will come. With more salary, what will come? 10% will go to Krishna, but 90% we will use for increasing our lifestyle, right? So we will become very comfortable in the material world. So then suddenly when Krishna comes and says, you know, Krishna, 1 minute I'm still enjoying your external energy. Abhi kya zarurat hai, baad mein aana. For a time ke baad then you come. You know, that is what we will think. There will never be an incentive to go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, he is not going to reciprocate the way exactly that all of us want him to reciprocate. Then he further gave an example that padam padam vipadam natesham, at every material step there is a danger. He actually said, what was the danger that Krishna was referring to in this material world? In the olden days, what was the danger? Somebody will die of snake bite. That was the danger which Krishna gave. Now if we are saying that in Krishna, this cancer problem, my God, who invented cigarette? Krishna didn't invent cigarette. Who invented alcohol? Krishna didn't invent alcohol. Krishna, these airplanes, these crashes, oh, this material world, how you have created? Are, I didn't create these airplanes. You created these airplanes. Krishna has not created. If you see, most of the problems in this material world and people dying and getting diseases are developed by who? By us. Except snakes was the only thing that Krishna created to detach us from the material world. But most of us don't die because of snake bite. Most of us have problems, even as devotees, we may not die because of snake bite. But we may die because of diabetes. Why? Who is forcing us to eat sweets? Krishna? We are ill. Who is forcing us, don't do exercise? I'm talking about myself. If I want, if I have responsibility, I will maintain this body so that I can, you know, serve for many number of years. But nay, I can't. When I see that jalebi or when I see that caramel, carob chocolate, then tongue is not controlling. So who is responsible? So something happens tomorrow, if I have to go to the hospital, if I you know, have a high BP and sugar and whatever health problems, I am responsible for it. I can't say, why you, oh, dunya banane wale, kya tere dil mein samaye? You know, I can't tell him all those things, you know. because I have done all these things. I am the reason for the problems. So atyahara, right? I chose to come to Australia. Oh Krishna, why so much racism problem you are giving me? I told you or what? To come to Australia. I made you, you were born in Vikroli in India. In Bombay. I gave you birth, natural birth there. Because you had to do something there. You wanted, you saw your neighbor going to United States. You said, I want to come to, you know, Australia. Because prestige will go up in the building. Now you are coming here and you are saying racism problem. So I have not created, you have created this problem. You came with desires. Right? You could have been very happy in that one bedroom kitchen. Which your father gave you. But you wanted big house in Point Cook. Right? Four bedroom. With two cars. And now you are paying mortgage. And now you are saying, this job, this economy, job losses. Oh my God, Krishna. Why? Please save me. Bhakta Vatsala. So most of the problems are created by us. So at least we will realize it. So at least we will not blame the Lord. First we have to get out of the blaming tendency. Otherwise, we will not understand what is Bhakta Vatsala at all. As long as we are blaming him all the time for our problems. So, he mentioned all this. Some of the points he didn't mention. That was my addition. But philosophically, you know, this was the theme that he was, you know, presenting. Okay. In fact, he said that even a person who is only surviving on fruits and vegetables, even that person has got a problem in this material world. Health problem. Why? Most of these fruits and vegetables are also ridden with fertilizers. He said. So we can get cancer because of that. So it's a problem. I followed four regulative principles. I never ate meat, but why me cancer? That is because fertilizers are there. So it will come. So whatever is applicable to others will also be applicable to us. So, and he was again. He took a branch and he talked about these devotees who went all the way to Muktinath. He was mentioning that these devotees, Muktinath is not a place, not a tourist place. He said that Muktinath and places like these are to be approached on foot, not by airplane. And people go to these destinations at the last stage of life. There is no return ticket from these places. But man is trying to go there and come back. So he says there is no question of return ticket. So we are violating the law which Krishna has kept. Go to these places, but point of no return. These places are where you can just give up your body, that's all. Even if the Pandavas, towards the end, they went towards the Himalayas. We saw that. Narad Muni also said, I started walking towards the north. So these are places where you don't go for some time and then, oh, I went nice, you know. Shaligram stone, very first class. Some pictures we take and then come back. So these are not places meant to be visited like that. There are countries which Krishna has designed where man should not live. For example, Canada is not a place where Krishna wanted any people to settle down. But we went there, to Toronto. Canada is a place, especially Toronto is a place where thick-skinned animals only should live. Naturally, they are given that body. But we go and put one jacket, two jackets, three jackets and two gloves on top of that. And still go to work. Because Canadian dollar was doing well. Correct? So, who is responsible for the problem? Then if I develop hypothermia or some problem, joint problem, arthritis few years down the line, because I lived there for a few years, then I cannot say, oh Krishna, what is happening? I am so chanting so nicely. No. Which also we are not doing actually. That is another subject matter. Okay, but still, assuming that we are attentively chanting also, then, right? So he really gave a very nice perspective. Stop blaming Krishna for this event and have the right expectations. So Krishna is also, Krishna therefore, if you see the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, he is not giving any assurances to Arjuna. Down the line, if you see the verse, Krishna, what he is telling Arjuna? He is saying, Matra sparshastu kaunteya, sita ushna sukha dukha daha, agama payino anityas, tam stitikshashva bharata. He is not telling Arjuna, hey, don't worry man, hang on, I am there on your chariot. Don't worry about anything in the material world. Everything will be cool. You know, he is not saying, there is no verse which says the material world will be cool. Right? Nothing will be cool. He said, in fact, it will be cold and hot. Both. Sita and ushna. Both will be there in this material world. And the only thing what you can do, my dear Arjuna, is to tolerate. You can't do anything else, right? You have to tolerate. But I will protect you at all points in time. So one has to be able to see the protection of the Lord in this perspective. Now, coming to the point, as Viraj Prabhu mentioned, the Lord, when he says he is protecting us, he will always protect the soul. He may protect the body also. Please do not misunderstand. It doesn't mean he will not protect the body. But it is, there is no guarantee that he will protect the body. That's all it is mentioned. But in any circumstance, he will protect the soul. Today morning, Bhakta Prabhu's class, in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he was mentioning many, many instances when devotees were there who had head-on collisions there was one devotee, Puri Das, who had a head-on collision with a truck. And what happened at that time? He left with a smiling face. So, it was very evident that the Lord had come at that point in time for him. He talked about John Lennon. John Lennon had done little bit of Shukriti for Prabhupada, because at some point in time he was favorable to Prabhupada. Along George Harrison, of course, was favorable till the end. But John Lennon, who was part of the Beatles, he showed some favor towards Srila Prabhupada and his movement. So when John Lennon was shot dead, and he was being taken like that. So at that time he was about to leave his body, and nobody was there. And at that time, coincidentally, a devotee was standing there, and he immediately recognized this is John Lennon, and he started chanting. God knows what the devotee was doing at that time when John Lennon had to be wheeled in. But he immediately started chanting for John Lennon, and he left his body at that time. So Krishna somehow arranged that he will hear the holy name, because he has served Srila Prabhupada at some point. And he gave umpteen examples. In today morning's class, he gave a lot of examples like that. So that is Bhakta Vatsala feature of the Lord. Wherein, if you have served, then towards the end, he will come and protect your devotional life. Even if you are in no situation to think about him, he will send Vaishnavas, or he will come himself and ensure that you are not falling down from where you are. So he will always protect your bhakti unmukhi shukriti. That is one feature of Bhakta Vatsala. Incidentally, he can also protect. In most cases, he may even protect the body. When we go to the Lord, if he is protecting even for the karmis, then why will he not protect for devotees? But then it is entirely his call whether he protects or he doesn't protect. But in the overall scheme of things, he will always would have protected, which we may understand or we may not understand. So in this example, he said that this devotee who was there in the Agniyar flight, one of the devotees was a brahmachari in Chaupati temple, and he was a brahmachari of a very high caliber. These people revolutionized the dressing of Radha Gopinath. This whole team was the Radha Gopinath dress team. Most of them were part of Radha Gopinath dressing team. They revolutionized the whole dressing of Radha Gopinath. It was so beautiful. They brought in all kinds of knowledge from the industry, to make those garments. Wonderful service. Now, this particular brahmachari who was there, he normally, he doesn't tell anyone that he is going for yatra. This time he told everyone, I am going to Muktinath. Further, he made a statement to everyone, if anyone this time comes for this trip, I will ensure that I will show you Krishna face to face. And he is not such a devotee who will make such a forward-making statement. In fact, mostly Chaupati Brahmachari, none of them will talk like that. They are all trained to be very humble. Nobody will make such a statement that you come with me, I will show you Krishna face to face. But he made that statement, which was against his nature. Also, what he did was, the deity doors are usually closed. 9 o'clock, Shayan. That's all, the Lord goes to bed. Nobody dares to open that door. And it is completely breach of etiquette to do that. At 10:30 in the night, before he left for Muktinath, he came. He opened the door and he paid obeisances to the Lord. And some devotee saw that. He said, what is this? Why is he opening the door? In fact, if Maharaj comes to know, or temple president comes to know, he will receive chastisement for that. But he did that. So, Govind Prabhu was saying, somewhere he already knew that he is not going to come back. Now, how did he come to know that? Because some force made him take a decision and just put him on that flight. Why will he suddenly decide to go to Muktinath, which is not even mentioned by Srila Prabhupada? Nowhere Srila Prabhupada mentioned Muktinath as a holy dham to be visited, right? Why will suddenly all these devotees go there? And that to such a team who has been serving so sincerely for so many years. So, he mentioned that, yes, Krishna's ways are, we can never know. So, the understanding which he has given is, Krishna wanted them for a higher service. That's all. Full stop. Nothing more than that. Krishna wanted them for a higher service. He said that, now enough, now here. I want you all there. Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Mayapur, suddenly he is going back, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj also said, something, he made a statement, forward looking statement. This is the last time,
Last lecture.
This is the last lecture or something he said. And then he was going back, car accident, but absolutely peaceful. So Krishna, and because Prabhupada wanted him maybe for some other service. So we have to understand things in this perspective. In fact, it is mentioned that when the brahmacharis, there are two sons who are there. The second son, both of them died in the aircraft, both were devotees. The second son always used to assist the elder brother. Gagan and what is his name? Murli Mohan Prabhu and Gagan Prabhu. So Gagan Prabhu was the younger brother. Gagan Prabhu, it is said that in all these years, he has never accompanied his brother for any yatra. But he only said, this time somehow he was adamant, I want to go. Otherwise, even after being called, he will not go. So he said, I want to go. So the parents lost both their children in the aircraft, in this air crash. But it is said, when the bodies were kept and devotees were coming in, the father, what was his mood? He was trying to serve, you know, the devotees. Kya banane wale the? Milkshake. Badam milk dhoon kya. Can you imagine? Son is just two sons, both of them lost, and the father and mother, they're lamenting. They would be lamenting ordinarily. Say, oh Krishna, you don't exist. That is how you will find. Kya Bhagavan ne kar diya? No. They are serving the Vaishnavas. They think, Prabhu, badam milk I will bring for you. And he said that the whole atmosphere was as if there was some festival going on there. No? And even after the next day, they call up the brahmacharis and say, thank you very much. But ye Krishna Bhakti agar nahi hota, to I don't know how we would have handled this situation. It is not possible. And in fact, there was one girl also. She was an upcoming Bollywood, she would have been a Bollywood star. But she was a very nice devotee. Huh? Rasna girl. She was also the Rasna girl of India. Like that. So this girl Taruni Singh, she was a very good devotee. She has participated in many dramas also in the temple. Now she also left her body. And when they met her father, and the father lost wife as well as daughter. And father was not so much inclined to devotion, but mother and daughter were pakka devotees. Right? Both of them lost. So the father also responded surprisingly when the devotees went, saying that abhi to mujhe bahut jyada pray karna padega Krishna ko. I have to double my services to the Lord. So this is the mood. Every devotee is reciprocating in this mood. So automatically Krishna is giving a direction saying that, don't worry, there is some larger plan here. So this lecture was a real eye-opener on how to see, these kind of events. So one cannot be always, so we cannot say that, okay, I'll drive rashly at 100, I'll go at 120 because I'm a devotee. It will not happen. So the experiences of the material world, which is valid for non-devotees, could be the same experiences for devotees as well. So Krishna's protection has to be understood in the right perspective. Okay. In fact, Srila Prabhupada adds further that the way Lord Krishna operates is, as a Bhakta Vatsala, he protects our bhakti. He protects the bhakti of the devotee. Sometimes by chastising the devotee. So that chastisement is also a Bhakta Vatsala feature of the Lord. When the son wants to smoke cigarettes, when the father gives him a big slap, because of which the son never forgets that slap and does not smoke, has the father not been a Bhakta, has not been a Vatsala for the... He has protected the child with that slap forever. Otherwise the child would have died of cancer. So the chastisement of Krishna also is a Bhakta Vatsala feature. Not only that, he is always protecting the devotee's body every now and then. So this is an understanding we have to have. Srila Prabhupada once cut his finger and he was bleeding. So devotees were thinking, oh, Srila Prabhupada, how can he bleed so much? And his finger has got cut. So Prabhupada said, Krishna, actually, my arm should have got cut, but Krishna only gave me a token reaction. Which is true. It was not a sentimental statement. It is mentioned in the Shastras that Krishna, the devotees don't come under karma. The moment we have come under a devotional life means we are not suffering because of our karma. But Krishna himself can give us a token reaction for our, to bring us more closer to him. There is a verse, I don't know, in 11th or 12th canto, which is that, Tat Harishye Dhanam. Which is that verse? If Krishna wants, he can take away the Yasyaham Anugrahanami. Yasyaham Anugrahanami verse. Thank you. Which canto is that? 11th canto. Lord is saying, it is mentioned there, that if the Lord wants, he can take away all the wealth of a devotee, such that all the relatives of that, his image will come down in his family. Immediately wealth goes, first thing image only goes, no? In the family. Nobody will phone us then, how you are and all. Right? In fact, they'll call us and say, how are you? We heard something and they'll be very happy. Like that. Okay. Isn't it? The world is like that, no? People are always happy. No? So, but Krishna can take away, and after that our prestige will go down, our friends will go away, and the devotee then is left only under the mercy of Krishna. So if he wants, he can execute his Bhakta Vatsala feature in that way also. How he is executing? If we are too attached to our wealth, too attached to our qualification, too attached to our position, in a minute, all that can come down. If Krishna is feeling that this devotee is, you know, he is coming nicely to me, let me remove the small obstacles which can actually take him, those freeway exits which are not required for him. You know, he will block all those exits for us. So the only way to approach then is drive straight to Krishna. That's all. Right? So he can block those exits. So that is also a Bhakta Vatsala feature of the Lord. Okay. The Lord is also, the other aspect that is coming here is not only the Bhakta Vatsala feature, but the Lord is also eager always to serve his devotee. Protector of devotees and also eager to serve his devotees all the time. There are ample examples of that. Obviously, we will not go into every example point of time. Just one example, that when Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting in the heat of Vrindavan, and Sanatana Goswami comes there, he sees that Radharani is putting her veil on top of Raghunath Das Goswami's head. In another instance, when Raghunath Das, same Raghunath Das Goswami is chanting, there is a tiger which is standing next to him. But and Sanatana Goswami comes and he is scared, oh, the tiger is about to attack. But then behind he sees that Krishna is standing with a stick, like that. And then Krishna goes away. So this is another feature where he is always eager to serve his devotee. And there are umpteen number of pastimes. You can even read the pastime of Madhavendra Puri. How Madhavendra Puri missed the kheer. Madhavendra Puri, when he saw Giri Govardhan, when he discovered the deity of Gopal, Giri Govardhan deity, so he wanted to worship that deity and he wanted certain special type of sandalwood for which he was asked to go to Jagannath Puri. As he was going, he came and landed up in Gopinath temple in Ramuna Dham, where he found out that they are offering a special type of sweet rice to the deities, to that Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri wanted to taste that sweet rice. Why? Not because let me also, you know, chalo abhi achcha prasadam milega idhar. No, not like that. Okay. He wanted to find out how they make this so that he can make it for the Lord. So he thought like that. But at that time the bhoga was being offered. So immediately Madhavendra Puri left that place. And he came back to the city and he was chastising his own mind. Oh mind, how bad you are. The bhoga is being offered and how can I think of enjoying that which Krishna has not enjoyed so far. But on the other hand, what happened? Lord had that prasadam. And then the pujari also went to sleep. The Lord came in his dream and told him, you get up now. I have kept one bowl separately behind me. You know? So pujari woke up and found that actually the bowl was there. And the Lord told him in the dream, you go and give it to one person called Madhavendra Puri who is sitting there under the tree. So he goes there and he calls out, anyone Madhavendra Puri here? So he goes there, oh yeah, I am Madhavendra Puri. Yeah, the Lord, you know, Gopinath has asked me to give it to you in a dream. And then Madhavendra Puri is thinking, what is this? So that is how the Lord is called as Sheer Chor Gopinath. He stole the kheer just to fulfill the desire of his pure devotee. So that is how the Lord is very eager to serve the devotee's small, small desires also. But it is mentioned that the devotee only wants to serve the Lord. The Lord wants to serve the devotee, but the devotee wants to serve the Lord all the time. And during the next recap session, then we will talk about one or two more points, because now, you know, I have to close the class. We have two more verses which we will read. And in the next class, some other points which are there, which will give more details around, you know, how the Lord is eager to serve the devotees and reciprocation, we'll discuss like that. Now, why was Arjuna asked to move the chariot amidst the armies? Coming back to the, you know, Bhagavad Gita situation, why was Arjuna asked to move the chariot amidst the armies? So there are few reasons which are given. One is, Arjuna previously vowed to kill anyone who even suggested that he put down his bow. Arjuna had actually vowed, he will kill anyone. So he had no idea of any compromise. And that's also written here. He had no ideas of compromise as yet in his mind. So he moved closer. It was only when he saw And Krishna very cleverly did that. He took him directly to his weak areas, Bhishma and Drona. So till that time he was not. So at this point in time he wants to fight. So he says, let me see who are the people. Like that. Second is, he was forced against his wish because of obstinacy of Duryodhana. Third, he was anxious. He was anxious to know who were leading with a desire to fight against him. Who are those people who want to please this Duryodhana? He wanted to know that. Because he knew that these will be birds of the same feather. Who will flock together against him. He also wanted to assess their intensity to fight with him. Because there was another, because he is a Vaishnava, he is also thinking, maybe I can avoid the war. If they are little bit weak, maybe I will, yes, we will say that you take the kingdom. I don't want it. So he was seeing their intensity. And also he wanted to estimate the strength of the opposition. So here we see the application of a verse. Do your duty and leave the results to Krishna. So Arjuna still had to do his duty as a Kshatriya to go and assess the opposition. He did not say, oh, Krishna is on my chariot, Bhaktavatsala is there, so why I have to go and see the opposition? So it doesn't mean if Krishna is there in our life, we should not do our effort. Karmane vadikarashya ma phaleshu kadachana. So he is showing the nature of a karma yogi. So he is still doing his part in the game by taking the chariot there. Also, the symptom he was exhibiting that he had no intention of peacemaking at the moment. So these are few reasons why Arjuna went there. So we'll read the next two verses. Next three or four verses. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona and all other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. Oh, sorry. Did we miss that? Oh, Sanjaya said, okay. Sorry. Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharata, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. So actually Lord Krishna took the chariot there. And then it is mentioned, in the presence of Bhishma, Drona and all the other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, just behold Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. So this is where the Lord deliberately takes him to his weak areas, to show them, look, I'm standing. So he wants to now bewilder Arjuna. And Arjuna's bewilderment is going to start now. His lamentation is just about to begin, which we will see in the next class. There Arjuna could see within the midst of the armies of both parties, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, and also his father-in-laws and well-wishers. When the son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. So here in these verses, Arjuna is referred to as Gudakesha. Gudakesha is a person who has conquered his sleep. And conquering sleep is one of the symptoms of love of Godhead. It doesn't mean people who have sleep disorders are devotees. Okay? It is a benefit which comes from being a devotee of the Lord. That one conquers one's sleep. So he is called as Gudakesha. Because a person who is a pure devotee, he is always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So in one sense he is sleeping, but he is not sleeping. He is always thinking of Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, he slept only for 1 or 2 hours in the night. Raghunath Das Goswami also had the same regimen. It's very difficult to understand this from a material point of view. But their love for Krishna was so much that they could not sleep. Because they were always eager to, next time, when will I meet Krishna? If I sleep, okay, I'll miss Krishna. Like that. The closest to that is the teenage years which we had. If we had a crush on some girl, then mujhe neend na aaye, mujhe chain na aaye. Yes, that is a small fraction of that same mood. When the mind is thinking about that girl, oh, tomorrow I'll meet in college. Oh, I'm not able to sleep. Oh, when it is 7:30, like that. Otherwise, if that person was not there, then, oh my God, I have to go to college. It's like that. So this is the closest example. Because we really can't understand these higher examples. So the closest, I know it's a bit mundane. But then how can we explain this mood? Right? So this is the closest that comes. But that affection, attraction, if it is for Krishna, then that same sleep is going away now. Again, mujhe neend na aaye because of Krishna, that dream is not coming. Sleep is not coming, like that. Okay. So, Lord being Rishikesha, he was able to preempt Arjuna's mind. Because he is the controller of the senses. So, he is inside as Paramatma, he is able to clearly understand. So, he is pushing Arjuna deliberately towards Bhishma and Dronacharya. And this is the point when Arjuna is transitioning into supposed influence of Mahamaya. From here on, he is bewildered for a many verses till he becomes again enlightened towards the end and starts to fight. So this is the transition point where the Bhagavad Gita is being spoken now. And that bewilderment all of us have in this material world. And that's why we must hear Bhagavad Gita to come out of that bewilderment. Okay. And in the verse, the Lord, there's one more interesting point which I will stop after that. The Lord is mentioning to Arjuna, he is reminding Arjuna, he is calling Arjuna as Partha. Partha means the son of Pritha. So Arjuna, Lord Krishna is indirectly joking with him. He is telling me, look, for the sake of relationship only, our relationship only, I have come to this battlefield. I am the supreme enjoyer. I have nothing to do with Kurukshetra battle or some kingdoms. But for the sake of this relationship, I have come to fight. So you better don't think of not fighting for the sake of your relationships. Okay. So he is joking. That mood is coming out of the Lord. He is joking because that is all, no, as a dhira prashanta, there is also a little bit of that. Yeah. Dhir Lalita also joking, but Dhir Prashanta also, the Lord is little bit showing the tendency to subtly, you know, hint at Arjuna these few things. So that is a very interesting point that came out. This is basically the statement of Baldev Vidyabhushan. Baldev Vidyabhushan was a realized person. He is able to bring out the mood of Krishna like that. And in the text 26 and 27, the different grades of relatives are mentioned. Grandfather, father, cousin, brothers, children. So many people were there on the other side. So that is mentioned. So in the next class onwards, we will see how Arjuna is now reacting to this bewilderment and what are the different innovative reasons that he comes up for not performing his duty. Like we come up with so many innovative reasons for not doing so many things that Prabhupada instructed us to do. Like that Arjuna is going to come up with a lot of innovative reasons. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.